It is perilously close to 9:30 on Coast Community Radio, and that means it's time for Food Talk. And, you know, Linda Perkins,
Hello.
My fabulous co-host, the CD player doesn't want to talk to our
Dig in. No, wait, not digging in dirt. That's not our song. That's not our show. Sorry.
Let's all sing
it
together.
Song,
I know, but we're not going to hear it this morning.
I'm driving my vegetables. I'm driving my green edibles. I'm driving my vegetables around. I am driving my broccoli. I'm driving my cauliflower. Driving a bushel of corn home. Yay! Food talk.
I think we have a whole new thing now. I think we have a whole new let's sing something live every week.
No. I love that you said that it was perilously close to 9:30, though. That makes it sound so much dangerous and exciting.
It's a big adventure. And now we've passed the night. Now we're perilously past 9:30. And I feel like that was good, though, because we had live music there in the middle.
We got it. We got past it by the hair of our dog, by the skin of our teeth. It was so.
I feel oddly refreshed. So we're talking food today.
I got my apron on.
I know you always have your apron on, which makes you much more prepared than me. My apron is elsewhere. It's always elsewhere. I've been I don't know what you've been doing lately in the kitchen. Tell us first before.
Well, my husband was being a doofus this morning, and he was running around in his underwear pretending he was the radio show going, "Ooh, today we're going to talk about raisins." You know, they're just wrinkled up grapes.
We need to have him on. Seriously.
Maybe it would not be serious.
Let's do a remote broadcast from Linda's kitchen. I think that would be good.
Honey, can you get the batter off the ceiling?
Well, what'd you have for breakfast?
Oh, I had some brie and apple. That's not very breakfasty, is it?
No, it's delicious, though.
Yeah.
It's totally delicious. I have been obsessed lately with watermelon.
Ooh.
I just am eating watermelon every single day.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's a short window of opportunity. And although it is not a Clatsop County product, mm-hmm. we have access.
Oh, it's still delicious.
It's so delicious. Yeah. And I am I'm constantly and not so secretly bemoaning the fact that you no longer can get what would, I guess, now be called heirloom watermelons, yeah. the old kind with the big, fat, flat, mm-hmm. Hard black seeds.
You can spit 100 yards.
Yes,
yeah.
And it had a different texture mm-hmm. and a sweetness that even the best watermelon we can buy now doesn't match.
Now, see, that is so interesting. I was in Thailand once, and I had this drink. It wasn't an alcoholic drink, but it was just like liquid watermelon on ice. And it was so good. And no matter what I tried to do to recreate it here, it's not watermelon-y enough. And I wonder if that's what it is. Because I remember watermelons when I was a kid. You're right. I mean, and I just hadn't thought of it. They were really, really good and really, really watermelon-y.
Yeah, and they hardly had any of the little white seeds in them because mm-hmm. by the time they were ripe, all those white seeds had matured.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And turned into these thick, flat, black seeds. Mm-hmm. And I think that we opted, and I questioned the wisdom of this decision, all of us together. We opted for the convenience of not having to seed a watermelon mm-hmm. for the fabulousness of watermelons mm-hmm. with seeds in them. Anyway.
What have you been making?
Well, I've just been eating like tons of watermelon, but one of my very favorite things to do is mix it with feta or a kind of like a mellower blue cheese, like a gorgonzola mm-hmm. instead of a Danish blue. But I also like it sprinkled with just black pepper, sprinkled with feta and like a chiffonade of fresh basil and black pepper, maybe a little tiny drizzle of really good balsamic. I just like watermelon pretty much any old way, but you know, just pureed up and you mm-hmm. can make it into like popsicles or you can just
drink
have
it.
Yeah, just you can just drink it. for sure.
I remember when I was a girl at my grandma's house in Illinois, and they grew a lot of watermelon in that area, that they would just eat that center part that didn't have seeds. They would
the heart.
Yeah, they would just not discard just the rind, but all the parts with seeds, they would just eat that center part. And
isn't that a luxury?
Yeah, yeah, that's the word. That was just like so luxurious. And it wasn't just my grandma showing off or anything. It's just what they did there a few years ago.
When you have lots of watermelon. And especially mm-hmm. if you have livestock that likes watermelon too, mm-hmm. then or you compost, then go for it, I say. But we don't have enough watermelon, so
oh no,
the whole
so
thing.
Wasteful. But I mean, I just remember that it was just such a.
How are you on watermelon pickles?
I'm kind of on the other side of the fence. Can we still be friends?
Yeah, I don't make them okay. because I, you know, I live in a 2-person household. So if you're going to really like do pickles, you're going to have pickles forever and a day. But my grandmother used to make watermelon rind pickles and they were like candy.
Well, see, now that might be it because it was my grandmother. My experience with them is my grandmother's. And my maternal grandmother was a horrendous cook. And she just wanted to be a grandmother. She wanted to make pickle type things and all of them were just horrible. And so that could be, and that's an awful thing to say. Sorry, Grandma. You could really do needlepoint.
But go with your strength.
But you know what? That might be it. That's my experience, you know, with it. And all of her pickles were just inedible. And so that could be it. That could
Gosh.
Be it.
That is, I have had that happen more often than I really want to recall in terms, not just of pickles, but in terms of like preserving a whole lot of something because suddenly you have something coming out of the garden, you can't possibly eat it all and you can it and or whatever you do with it. And then you open the first one up and go, I'm never going to eat this.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to eat one, let alone like 10 quarts.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's. Very, very, very discouraging.
How are you for other melons?
I'm big on other melons. I love cantaloupe.
Me too.
I love cantaloupe.
Yeah, I think that's my favorite.
Honeydew, because I love good honeydew, but mm-hmm. I think that I blame honeydew for being unreliable.
I really don't like it that much. It's just hardly ever any good.
Crenshaw is great, and yeah. There's a million other melons out there that are really, really good, but mm-hmm. honeydew's way down on my list. But cantaloupe, mm-hmm. yes. And I wanted to say also that if you are ever moved in the summertime to wrap a slice or a chunk of cantaloupe with prosciutto like we do for a, you know, appetizer sort of dealy, try that with watermelon instead of cantaloupe.
Oh,
and
really?
You will like it because watermelon likes salt.
Okay.
And so that cured meat is salty and fat.
Yeah, when my mom used to eat watermelon, she would salt it. That's the only way she would eat it.
Yeah, and if you sprinkle it with like that Maldon salt, that big, mm-hmm. big flaky salt, and coarse ground black pepper just over watermelon chunks, yum! Seriously, I'm not kidding.
It's yum summer, yum summer.
Are you like up to your eyeballs in berries? Because I know summertime you do berries until.
So the native berries are just coming to a close, so that's good. But I've got a little bit of kitchen fatigue, you know, just from being in there so much making jam. I mean, I've put up more than 3 dozen cases of jam so far, and that's a lot for my little prison kitchen. No.
Oh my God.
And I feel that I'm lucky because I like to cook. Most people I know don't like to cook, and that's such a big part of being alive and such a big part of your day that it's a chore. I don't like housework. Now, I know people who really like housework and they like it, but to me it's a chore, and that's like the analogy I make. Do you know what I mean? How I am to housework, other people are to cooking. And so I've just, when I get this kind of kitchen fatigue, when I'm in there too much, then I feel like how I think all my friends always feel. Do you know?
Well, yeah, I do because when I'm teaching classes at the Food Web, I hear one of the most common reasons why people don't cook very much at home is because they're tired.
Yeah.
Or they don't have time.
Yeah.
And that. That happens to us when we cook too much, too. Sometimes mm-hmm, you just need to escape the area.
Yeah. So I found that when that happens to me, like if I become like very organized. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
Like I have to, like, I have to think, okay. And it doesn't work for me to say, okay, for lunch, we're going to have this. For dinner, we're going to have this. For lunch, we're going to have this. For dinner, we're going to have this, because I make too much food then. So what I do is I just think, okay, there's five things I'm going to make this week. And sometimes we're going to gnaw on leftovers. I have to go to the store, get the stuff for all five of these, make them, get them ready. And normally I don't have to do that. I'd be like, ooh, I have broccolini and I have mushrooms in the fridge. And oh, look at, there's buttermilk. And so usually it's like a big adventure. But when I have this like kitchen fatigue, then I have to like buckle down, make lists, organize, and plan it out. And so generally, if I make about five things, that's good for the week. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally makes sense.
I don't know how you do it, but that's what I have to do.
It totally makes sense.
Yeah. And I have to like write everything down, like go to the store, like, do I have salt? I mean, of course I have salt, but I mean, I just have to write it all down or I forget something, because it's all just a big uphill chore. And that, and it's usually not like that, but just right now it is.
Yeah. Well, you've got that big honking project going
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
I have fine. Something you don't have to cook that's perfect for this time of year.
Right.
Because tomatoes are the main thing, and right now we have heirloom, beautiful heirloom tomatoes showing up at farmers markets that are just so, like, you could eat them like apples. These are the kind of tomatoes I remember. I grew up with grandparents, and my grandfather was a big gardener, and he used to have a salt shaker in the garden under an upturned soup can to keep it dry when the garden got watered or it rained, in the tomato patch, so that you could just pick a tomato and there would be the salt shaker.
Wow.
And you would just like wipe the tomato off on your pant leg and lick a little spot and put salt on it and have a bite. Anyway, I am not totally big on cold soup. Like, you could keep your vichyssoise as far as I'm concerned, okay. But I love gazpacho.
Yes.
I love gazpacho. And you can make it with canned tomatoes. Yes, you can. Mm-hmm. And it will be quite lovely. But if you've ever had it with fresh, ripe heirloom tomatoes, you will never be able to go back. So be careful. Approach with caution. Anyway, it is also a fabulous thing that you really make without a recipe,
mm-hmm.
because it is one of those whatever's in the fridge, and what is in your fridge right now is liable to be some fresh veg. So the main thing you need for it is diced fresh tomatoes, and you can do it a variety of ways. Some people do it in the blender and it comes out really smooth, and you just put it in a cup and drink it. I kind of like it a little
chunky.
Yeah.
Me too.
Not
rustic.
Big chunks, yeah. but I want it to have some tooth mm-hmm. to
everything
it.
Everything I like that way.
Yeah, me too.
Even gravy. No, really.
Well, that's what sausage is for. Anyway, so diced tomatoes. I think there are a couple things for me that I have to have in gazpacho. One
what?
Is cucumbers.
Oh, yeah.
One is celery. Sorry, Norma Hernandez, she hates celery. One is onions, and it doesn't matter if it's chives, green onions, sweet onions, yellow onions, spring onions. It's got to have some onion in there. And then I like a hot chili, but just a moderately hot, like jalapeno. But you mm-hmm. could also use just like Anaheim chilies just for the flavor without any heat if you're not a spicy kind of person. You could also put capers in there if you wanted to. I like garlic in there. And because I like mine a little bit chunky, I often will use a little garlic powder instead of fresh garlic, just because I don't really want a piece of fresh mm-hmm. garlic. So that's the main thing. And then whatever spices you want in there, salt, pepper, maybe hot sauce, I don't know, taste it. Like, either put it in the food processor and just pulse it until it looks the right consistency to you, or put it in your blender until it's like smooth and silky, and chill it. Yum.
Num.
Yeah.
So sometimes I get like a mess of garlic, and I already peeled because I'm lazy. And but you could peel it if you felt like it. And I put it in the food processor, and I might have talked about this before, and I essentially mince it that way. And then I put it in quart bags real flat, and I put it in the freezer. And it does a couple things. One, I don't have to chop it every day, but two, it's a little milder. It's kind of like how if you blanched a garlic clove for a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And so if I'm making something fresh like that, like salsa or gazpacho or something like that, I will use that garlic because it's milder and it doesn't have that, you know, scary hot bite that sometimes I don't want.
And then you could just break
a
piece off of it.
That's what I do. That's why I do it real thin. I just break a little off. And I love banana peppers, even though there's no spice in them. I love the flavor of sweet banana peppers in gazpacho. And
the pickled ones, the vinegary ones?
No,
just the real ones.
The fresh ones from the market. So good.
Okay.
And
the shishito peppers would be good in there too.
Yes.
You know, there is a place in Portland that I go when I'm there to have an adult beverage. And they have on their bar menu roasted shishito peppers with like preserved lemon, then la-di-da, but it's so good. Anyway, they call them Russian roulette peppers because randomly one will be really, really, really hot.
That happened to me one year with poblanos. They are the same way, very notoriously, you know, dull or blazing. And so I got a blazing batch, and I was just like, sweet mother of southwestern spices, kill me now.
So you're doing the peppers the same way as you do the garlic, where you chop them up and put them in the freezer?
Kind of. The husband rigged this. He took a barbecue basket that had a lid, and then he fastened a great big broom handle onto it. And so then I take that and I twirl it full of peppers and he hits it with the weed burner.
Oh, no, and kidding.
Is our poor man's pepper roaster. I do that and then I cut them up and put them in the freezer so I have them all year. So mostly I use it for chilies.
But they're already roasted, so there you go.
Yeah.
That's very spiffy.
I use my freezer kind of like a prep kitchen. You know, kind of like just everything's prepped and in there. I really like that.
That's a really good idea. Yeah. When you said blanched the garlic cloves, mm-hmm. it reminded me that a restaurant I used to work at, instead of roasting garlic, mm-hmm. would blanch the peeled cloves and then saute them in a little olive oil. Slowly, mm-hmm. not really a saute, a slow simmer, just the olive oil, just barely, you know, for quite a while, like maybe half hour, and then pull them out of there, and they would be sweet and mm-hmm. soft and yummy, like a roasted garlic would be, but you don't have to do the whole peeling.
But I wonder why they would blanch it first.
I don't know. I don't know.
Because that's like so there's a couple things for things that can be like overpowering, like garlic. Garlic, you know, you can blanch it, like just stick it on a skewer and blanch it in uh-huh. boiling water for 45 minutes and it takes some of that bite away. Onions, you know, you can chop them up and then put them in water and then you just kind of squeeze them in ice water, squeeze them and let them sit about 10 minutes. And if you're going to use them in like a cucumber salad or something where there's lots of them and you've just got a pretty pungent variety at home, then it just makes it not so bitey. And they're so one of those things.
Not so bitey.
Bitey.
On that note, I want to remind everybody that you're listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM, Tillamook, Oregon. We're streaming at coastradio.org, and we're in your pocket wherever you go on your mobile device using the TuneIn app.
All raisins, all day. Take that, Dale.
It's summer. We could be drying grapes. And apricots. Oh.
I don't think we can dry grapes here. We can't dry anything here.
We need dehydrators. That's why we have them.
Yes, yes.
We are probably the best dehydrator market in the United States. Oh, my gosh. Which tomatoes? If you have a dehydrator, now's the time. Get them while they're in season and they're at their peak and they're as cheap as they're going to get. And dry them until, you know, there's all those stages of dried tomatoes, the leathery, fabulous, mm-hmm. like sun-dried sort of thing. If we had sun, we'd do it that way.
We'll just call them dried.
But they're just kind of like tomato leather. Mm-hmm. And then you can leave them in longer and really get like the chips if you slice them thin enough, and those can be whirred up in your food processor into tomato powder, which is just so So, oh man, that is deluxe to
That's
have
a
tomato
good way to
butter.
Get like tomato into cheese. Like if you're making cream cheese thing with tomato, just like
oh,
do those
yeah.
dried tomatoes. Nom.
Yep. And tomato powder sprinkled over eggs in the morning. Yipes. Or in deviled egg filling. Really, really, really good.
So you want to hear like the, it's borderline white trash way that I often make gazpacho. Oh, I don't know how I got this radio gig, and here is proof.
Tell me it's not ketchup, Linda.
Oh, no, but it's close.
Let's hear it. This is always true food confessions.
Yes, yes, that's what we should. We should have like a little song for that. Oh, gosh. I am going to confess now. I really like V8. I just do. And so sometimes what I will do is I will take V8. I put some of that garlic I store in the freezer in there. I'm not even looking at Marianne because I'm so embarrassed. I'm like looking at the floor while I tell this story.
Hey, listen, if it works, V8 is just spiced tomato juice. Oh,
but this is sort of like, yeah, but sort of like, do you know that you can spiralize hot dogs? I mean, it's
yeah,
like
right.
That kind of story. I'm so sorry. But I like V8. So I put in some garlic and I put in some... white wine vinegar, and then a little bit of sour cream, and then sometimes curry powder, and then I just add vegetables, always, always peppers, always onions, always tomatoes, lots of tomatoes, and always cucumbers, and then tarragon.
Ooh, and tarragon, yeah.
So that's, either curry or tarragon, but most often tarragon. And I really, really like that.
That sounds actually very refreshing.
I feel so much better now that I got that off my chest.
All right. Well, absolution available here. Over a cup of V8.
Absolute? Oh, no, V8.
That would be another ingredient, absolute.
Well, we should have a bar called Absolution.
We have so many ideas, Linda.
I know, I know. Oh, and I think they're all good. That's one of my major character flaws.
saying tarragon made me think about the fact that tomatoes love basil and tomatoes really love tarragon, which
Linda also loves tarragon.
Oh, me too. Mm-hmm. We've got a really nice crop of tarragon in the herb garden at the Food Web.
Really?
And yes, now you know.
I trade you berries.
And tarragon, if you haven't had it fresh, you probably haven't really had it because it's not, it's like basil. I don't think it really, it doesn't really speak the same language once you dry it.
Mm-hmm.
But tarragon is sort of, to me, like basil that went to finishing school. You know, it's just so...
fancy basil.
Yeah, very fancy.
Yeah. You're right. You know, I mean, you can use them and interchange them.
Yes.
It's true. But yeah, there is... I just, because I really like French cooking, and I just don't know a lot of people that do, but it's just how I was, where I learned. And but I just love it. I think it's delicious.
I think it just
so
it makes a whole lot of things better. Yes,
yeah.
Eggs and like tartar sauce, a little tarragon mm-hmm. and tartar sauce. So good.
Mm-hmm.
Yum.
People are starting to bring us salmon.
Are they?
Yep.
Well, woohoo! What a shame.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed. I don't know anything about the when you can fish and when you can't, so maybe that was a stupid thing to say, but it's true. A couple people showed up with salmon the last couple days, and so that's exciting. And then when you said tarragon, that's just what I always think.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just the salmon.
What are you doing with salmon?
For quite a while, I'd been cooking them on the cedar planks, but now I'm just cooking them on the grill. And here's the thing. I hate how fish smells in the house. I hate it. And it lingers for days. And, I know that's not like a coastal thing to say, but if I'm cooking fish, I'm cooking it on the grill. That's just what I do. Even when if we do fish and chips, you know, we'll use the little side burner outside to heat the oil. I don't like that smell in the house. And so that's why, but yeah, just grilling it flat on the, just straight on the grill on the skin side.
Uh-huh.
And then, butter. Last time that I had salmon, a friend of mine, Diane, sent this sauce. It was a lemon sauce with a little bit of mustard.
Ooh.
Yeah. Now mustard isn't something that I normally think of with fish because it's just a pretty overpowering thing, you know, but there's just a little bit of mustard on it, and it was in that sauce, and it was really delicious. She sent me the recipe. I might post that recipe online if she lets me. But it was really, really good. So it was just like a a slightly lemony, slightly mustardy, hollandaise-y type sauce.
Yum.
And it was really, really good.
And it sounds like it would be good on a variety of things.
Your arm. Wait, my arm.
Almost anything. <Yeah. laughs> I'm not good at grilling. I got to say,
really?
I'm not very good at grilling.
I am the grill master.
I know. So, and I have recruited you to do a grilling thing in August that we might talk about as we get closer to it on Food Talk. But I like salmon outside for the same reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always just done it because I'm lazy and I don't want to clean the grill. And also, I don't want to watch it and I don't know how. So okay. I just put it in foil with lemon slices, butter,
mm-hmm.
salt, pepper, sweet onion, and a little bit of garlic, or the onion and garlic, you know, mm-hmm. minced really fine, and then sauteed in a little olive oil and use that sauce on it, and seal it up in foil and just throw it on the grill, and it comes out. So
perfect.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Perfect. And you don't even have to watch it or flip it or nothing. You just,
yeah.
It cooks in no time and it's just so good. I'm a little distressed that people are bringing you salmon and not me.
No.
I clearly don't know the right people.
I will trade you for tarragon. Well, I have a stepson who, instead of feet, has fins, so he's on the water so much.
Oh.
So that could be part of the reason.
That's so nice.
Such
so
a
very
seafarer.
Nice. So I'm trying to think. We need to talk about what's available at the farmers markets that feature local farmers lately, and I'm seeing. Beautiful onions, beautiful greens, mm-hmm. a lot of potatoes coming now.
And they're so good.
Oh,
there's such
really
a difference
good.
Between a potato that grew last week to one that grew 9 months ago, you know?
Yep. And those Maris Piper potatoes.
I don't know what that is.
Holy cow. Well, if you see an opportunity, you should eat one and then forevermore grieve that you don't have any.
Can
left.
You say the name again?
Maris Piper. It's two words, M-A-R-I-S, second word, Piper, P-I-P-E-R.
Where did you see
it? It's a kind of potato. I have seen them at... River People. I believe
okay.
Islands End has them.
Okay.
Islands End Farm out of Puget Island. And also I have seen them at the other like regional, like Cannon Beach, Manzanita, probably across
okay.
the river in Long Beach, I would
Maris
guess.
Piper.
Maris Piper.
Okay.
Any farmer's market stand you see that has more than that has more than one kind of potato,
yeah.
and they label
them,
look for Maris Piper.
Okay.
They're all good, though. Right okay. now, they're all good.
I got some of that garlic scape pesto last time at the
Holy
Islands.
Cow.
And
yeah.
yeah, that was really good. And so I just put that on pizza instead of sauce.
Yum.
That and a little bit of Parmesan. And then I put a little bit of cream on there. I didn't even make a sauce. I'm just like, it'll heat up. Because you know how I am about the kitchen right now.
I'm telling you, pesto is another fabulous no-cook,
yeah.
wonderful summer thing. Basil
yeah.
is everywhere right now,
yeah.
fresh basil. Cilantro is everywhere right now.
Boy, cilantro is something that if it's not fresh, if it's frozen or dried, it doesn't even taste like it.
No.
But yeah, I really like
you
cilantro. I feel
it.
Bad for people that have that gene where they don't like it.
I know. I haven't ever run into anybody that's lukewarm about
yeah,
cilantro.
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
But cilantro does actually have to be fresh to be
yeah.
enjoyed.
Yeah.
Although in the garden now, we're letting it go to seed because it bolted during that last hot spell. And now we're getting coriander, which is
oh,
the
yeah,
seed.
Yeah.
So that's kind of bonus.
Yeah.
But it's not at all the same as cilantro. So
no.
Anyway, cilantro makes great pesto. But whatever, so does spinach. Any kind of really fresh green. So, you know, whir it up with some olive oil and some garlic. And if you like nuts, pine nuts or any kind of nuts, and cheese is good. You can also make it vegan and not put any cheese in there. I mean, pesto is sort of like gazpacho. You just use what
you
have.
Do whatever you want. Yeah, yeah.
And then you come up with this great thing that could be a pizza sauce. It could just
mm-hmm.
be tossed on pasta. It could be a sandwich spread. There's no
mm-hmm.
end.
And I do the same thing. I make it and I put it in quart bags flat in the freezer and I break off a chunk when I need it.
Oh,
I put
man.
It in tomato soup. I put it in spaghetti sauce.
I think that the listeners and I should just take a shopping trip to your freezer. Because clearly it's full of everything we want and we haven't done. I promise I am going to invest in a massive box of sealable bags and start putting things in my freezer. Really, I will. That's such a good idea. I want to remind everybody that cooking classes are in full swing at North Coast Food Web. And if you're interested in cooking with us, everything from kids cooking camp coming up in August. We only have a couple spots left. We just finished, Linda, a whole week of kids cooking camp.
And I saw the pictures online. It looks so fun.
It was so fun. But also, and the pie classes are sold out, but there's a lot of stuff coming up. So check northcoastfoodweb.org for more information. And come to River People Farmers Market on Thursday afternoons at 12th and Exchange, downtown Astoria. It's a project of North Coast Food Web, and we would love to see you there. Many, many delicious and wondrous things and fabulous people. 3 to 7 every Thursday, 12th and Exchange, downtown Astoria. What else, Linda? Parting words. Because we have no theme song today, because I can't get my disc to talk to the player.
Parting words. Oh, I'm not that smart. Remember that raisins are just dried up grapes, everybody. And go out and make some gazpacho.